I'm with Neil McAvoy, MS, who has formed the party and is standing as the Propel candidate for the next Senate elections. Neil, one first question, why have you broken the rules?
I'm a bit baffled by the question because I don't think I've broken any rules. Which rules do you mean?
The police caution, the police interview. According to South Wales Police, you've broken the rules.
Yeah.
You've broken the regulation. Yeah.
So you mean the advice given by Mark Drakeford's advisors to keep people like me off the streets campaigning? Right, yeah. It's not against legislation. I've broken no law. I've done nothing wrong, to be totally serious about it. I wrote to the South Wales Police, actually, because they were using... Well, they've been delivering. They've been knocking on doors, canvassing. And I thought, given that they were pursuing me, it really wasn't right that they were doing that and yet performing the same tasks themselves. So they very kindly wrote back to me and gave me the legislation that they relied upon to carry out their public service, as they put it. Mm. So when the police came into my office, I was able to read back the exact part of the legislation. That the-
what I'm asking really is, if we take it that the alert level 4 regulations were that you must stay local, you must not leave your home or be in a place away from your home without a reasonable excuse, that applied to the people of Wales. If we just leave it like that, that was the rule, it applied to the people of Wales. Many, many people in Wales have been fined over £1,000 for doing so, for going to get a packet of cigarettes, for walking down the road, hanging about, being told to leave, not leaving, you know, a bit of anti-authoritism to a certain extent. And then, right, bang, you're in court, you're fined. A lot of people have experienced that. I'm just sort of trying to get to grips with, as a politician, so there are some people out there who are going to be saying, look, you know, you must have been aware of all this. You know what the regulations are. Even if you don't agree with them necessarily, and if somebody else is breaking the rules, it doesn't make it right anyway, does it?
I think you made the point there that I know what the regulations are. And I therefore know that the police are misapplying the law. They're not right. I'm being absolutely serious. They are wrong. And if anybody is fined unfairly, they should challenge it. I would support them going to court. Many, 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 many fines have been overturned. The problem is going to court is very stressful. Not everybody is that way inclined. And that's what the police rely upon. So we've seen huge infringement of our civil liberties. I walk around the estates of Cardiff. I see drug dealers whizzing around on scooters. Mm. I walked around Canton early hours of the morning a couple of weeks ago because there's no police there.
And what you're saying, in effect, is that there are far greater crimes going on all around at a time with no police presence, nothing being addressed, but they are seem to be homing in on this.
I think it's about control. We're still partially locked down now because of politics. The governments have an election on their minds. Every indicator says that we should be at level 2. The shop should be open. The pub should be open with precautions. And as Propel, we want to come out of lockdown with precautions. What we're seeing is the beginning of an authoritarian. The beginnings of an authoritarian regime. The reason I went out is because I'm a politician. I have to do my job. People want to see me. And that's what I have to do. I mean, so for the police to say to me that when I was, for example, people having their houses demolished, wanted to see me. They didn't want to do Zoom. They're not really, the people I spoke to are not really internet savvy. So I had to go to Grangetown on one occasion. And I was just doing my job. And I mean, for the police to say that I walked outside my house without a valid reason, it's...
I know what you're saying, because it is guidance. We've been told all along, this is guidance. It's not law. There are certain laws, but this is guidance from Welsh government. If we look at that then, and we look at Lee Waters' incident where he was travelling back and forth, it all kicked off, you know, and Lee Waters, it was said he's carrying out his duties as a politician. He has to do this. So Adam Price conducting a film on Betws Mountain, during the restrictions, Von Gething having his chips in Cardiff. Are you being victimised, Neil, and by whom, but for what reason do you think?
There's a whole Welsh establishment which does not want change. So you've got the coalition in Cardiff Bay, which is Labour, the Plaid Cymru, the Liberal Democrats, singular. You could even add the Conservatives there. They were all boozing, drinking together before Christmas. It's a cosy club. They don't want any change. They don't want leaflets delivered. They don't want us knocking on doors, talking to people. The same regulations allowed a man to come to my house totally lawfully last night, knock on my door and book an appointment for double glazing. And the reality is these people do not want change. And you've got the police who are highly politicised now. I think the chief constable should be sacked. We've got a very serious candidate in South Wales, that is. We've got a very, very serious candidate standing in the police commissioner elections now. And I think she would have great difficulty in working with the chief constable were she to be successful. You have the whole standards regime in the Senedd and through the Ombudsman's office as well. And anybody in politics that wants to change things, wants to challenge, is being crushed. And what we have here, we're at a very particular time in a former full democracy. And I do say former full democracy because if people can go about their economic business in terms of double glazing, canvassing, why are politicians banned from canvassing?
You talk about it almost like, and I did mention this to Mark Drake for Andy Waters, that I spent some time in Romania when the Stasi police would just come downfalling in 1989 when Ceausescu was killed. And even then, the paranoia and the neighbour informing on neighbour and so on. They said, oh, no, that's nonsense. You can't liken Wales to the Stasi and Romania of Ceausescu's era. But you would argue that we probably could then, could we?
In all seriousness, we're on the way to it. I spoke to somebody who used to live in East Germany under the communists, and I went there as well some years ago, just as the wall had fallen, but East Germany was still there. And I'm seeing a lot of similarities. Neighbours have been encouraged to, as you said, report each other. The law only applies to some people. They create their own reality. Cronyism, corruption would not happen in other parliaments. Mm. But it's happening in Wales under Plaid Cymru and Labour.
We spoke some time ago, and I remember you called the BBC and the Senate the cartel, Cardiff cartel, revolving doors for lobbyists. Has the pandemic, do you think, created an even less accountable Senate? Oh, things that might be going by, unnoticed?
Totally. I mean, Ellen Jones, the Plaid Cymru presiding officer, doesn't allow me to contribute now. I'm unable to ask for government statements. So, for example, the last time I was able to ask for a government statement, I blew the whistle on the fake fire safety certificates in the flats to do with the cladding scandal. That was a UK story. It was me who broke it in Cardiff in using the privilege of the Welsh Parliament. And I've been stopped from doing that now. So there are a number of things that I had planned to out, if you like, and I'm unable to do so. I'm unable to take part in debates. I'm being cancelled by the media. Appreciate the interview. BBC generally ignore me. ITV, not much better. No, I've sent them a press release. I mean, I picked up the phone. I've spoken to these journalists, and it's just not on their radar because what they're doing is indefensible. And I come back to the point that there are rules, as you pointed out, there are rules for some people and rules for me. We're a new party. We've been worked over by the Electoral Commission. For 15 months, they stopped us forming, in effect. And so we're a brand new party called Propel, whereas we would have been the WNP, which is so it makes brand recognition a lot more difficult. And what you have is a very flawed democracy now. And every single one of us should be worried. So we're heading into these elections where I think the greatest thing to talk about is restoring freedom and restoring democracy in Wales. I mean,
well, let's just look at that. You say that when you win, and on your interview with the police, you say that the police commissioner will be waving goodbye when you win, or if you win, you may take a seat or two, but Plaid dislike you, Labour and Conservatives too. As you said, Lib Dems may get one, and the abolish can't be good for you at all. So, what kind of coalition do you see it as the polls predict if Labour has this backlash, loss, and, you know, this is an opportunity to form a coalition government in May if the polls are right and Labour do lose so many seats. But again, you don't think you're going to be invited into that coalition. So you're on a hiding to nothing, Neil.
Not really. I think what we are is we've got a really good bunch of policies, which I'd love to run by you, actually. They're going live this week, and they're different. They're radical. They're revolutionary in some respects, in terms of the democratic angle. Propel is not a one-election trick. What we're after is election after election after election. So I see ourselves getting elected. I'm not saying how many seats. We'll see how many we win. I believe we'll have a decent-sized group. And I see us being an extremely strong and effective opposition. And the key point is there's never been an opposition in the Senate. So I'm not naive politically. But I was under the really huge misapprehension and misunderstanding that when I was elected for Plaid Cymru, that I was supposed to be an opposition politician. And when I arrived in Cardiff Bay, I was made to see in no uncertain terms that I was not supposed to be an opposition politician. The Plaid Cymru AMs used to complain to the BBC that I was always attacking the government. And I mean, I thought that was my job. I thought it was their job, but clearly not. I was asked to ignore corruption. That's why I was thrown out of Plaid Cymru, because I was instructed by Plaid Cymru to ignore what they were up to with their contract, which was withdrawn.
There have been calls, and Mark Drakeford has said he promises now a public inquiry into their handling of the pandemic. If you had Mark Drakeford in front of you, the panel, the inquiry, what would be your top one, two, three questions to ask of the public inquiry as far as the handling of the pandemic goes?
In an emotional sense, I'd like to know why on God's earth they allowed people to go into care homes without testing. I know somebody passed away as a result of that. It was so obvious that people going into those homes should have been tested.
Do you think they should have reacted much more quickly and established isolation hospitals like we used to have for TB? And Mark Drakeford said he did not want to make it an age thing. He didn't want to victimise or to point the finger at elderly, sick people.
I'm not saying anything new here. Well, in Austria, they had COVID clinics. So they kept the general hospitals clear of COVID. Most of the transmissions I read yesterday now take place in hospital. So there's a huge problem there. And for me, they gave away their powers over PPE to England. So you saw them dishing contracts out to friends. They refused to order rapid testing kits in March. That was a big mistake, in my view, in March 2020, a year ago. I mean, they could have had hundreds of thousands of testing kits a year ago. And I don't really think that they got the grips with it at all. The airport was still wide open. The roads were wide open. And I think, excuse me, at the beginning of the pandemic, there was a window of opportunity to, I'd say, really, really lock down for a few weeks and see where we were. They didn't do that. And the result is that we've got the worst of both worlds. We're in a lockdown, but it's not really a lockdown. And so many people have lost their livelihoods. So many people are waiting for treatment. People have come up to me, people I know, which are supposed to have cancer treatment, and it's been delayed. Another friend of mine's waiting for a test. There are so many. They basically closed down the NHS in many respects. Yeah. I think there are lots of mistakes made, and we should not be in lockdown. But every single study I've seen shows that lockdowns do not work. What works are mitigated non-pharmaceutical interventions, social distancing, restricting numbers, a focus on hygiene. They bring the numbers of virus transmission down, but the actual more extreme measures cause a lot of pain. And Dr. Roland Salmond has said that extreme lockdowns bring pain, but no actual benefits. So people have been thrown out of work. Suicide has gone through the roof. We don't know the figures. We will know the figures in September. That's anecdotal evidence of the number of people in my area alone who've committed suicide, men mainly, some younger people as well. I mean, very young, which has been awful. In terms of the vaccine, I think it was right. Personally, I believe it was right to give it to the most vulnerable. But if you're looking at younger people, why? If you're in your teens or mid-20s, you pick up COVID, you're going to get over it. It's going to be like a flu at that age. Why do you want a vaccine at that age? I mean, my parents in the mid-80s, underlying health conditions, of course, they chose to have the vaccine. For some categories of people, it's a very lethal flu. So I don't want to underplay it. It kills people. But for the vast majority, more than 99% of people get over COVID. And if you're young, if you're a child, they say flu has more of an effect than COVID-19, regular flu. So what we should have done, I believe, is enabled those people to go about the daily business in a distanced way, in a sensible way. I feel very sorry for sports people. You look at Welsh football, rugby as well. How on earth is 150 people around a big pitch, maybe in a few stands, how on earth is that a danger in terms of spreading COVID in the open air?
Are you going looking for the figures? Do you have access to the figures on the numbers of suicides in Wales during the last 12 months? The number of people maybe who've been sectioned for mental health issues, the number of domestic abuse cases? Do you think we're going to see a picture? It may be not in, you know, after 12 months, but maybe another year. Are we going to see a very, very horrific representation of 12 months of impact of lockdown on people throughout Wales?
I think by September, when the suicide figures are published, it will be a very bleak picture. I asked Vaughan Gethin a question about suicide figures. He said he didn't know what they were, which I thought was astonishing. I mean, in London, they've made efforts to try and assess the number of suicides, and they've increased a lot. In Wales, we've just ignored them. This is why I always thought the election was going to be on May the 6th, because I think if they'd have left it till the autumn, a very bad picture will emerge. And what they're trying to do, they're trying to frighten everybody, keep everybody off the streets, stop people campaigning, and hope they can nick the election. It is really damaging now, being in lockdown. And some of the studies that I've read state that in the longer term, the effect on loss of life is 10 times, could be 10 times. I'll be accurate. It could be 10 times what it would have been with COVID or what it is with COVID. I'm really concerned as well that the number of people who are put down as dying of COVID, actually they've died with it. And it's very sad that a lot of people at the end of their lives were finished off by this virus. And yet, I think if you looked at the figures for people who died of COVID only, with no underlying health conditions, then I think a different picture will emerge. A lot of mistakes have been made. We've been involved, it seems now, in a mass hysteria. And, for example, the gyms, there's no evidence of transmission.
Are you concerned then that, given that we are approaching May, and are you like a lot of cynics have been saying, really, that there's a hell of a lot of money being thrown around by Welsh Government at the moment. There's a hell of a lot of people who've done very well out of this. And the cynics might say that, you know, the lifting of the restrictions, the timing of maybe the mass lifting of the restrictions that we are given so many freedoms back, all coincide with a drive by Welsh Labour to win the election.
Without question. The narrative will be lockdown is lifted before the election. Drakeford will be the hero who has conquered COVID. And Labour will try and ride high on that. It'll be interesting to see whether people let him get away with it. What will happen then? You'll have the new wave coming. Lockdown will be found to have not worked. And we'll be in another lockdown. And what we're seeing is historic transfer of wealth from working class and middle class people to the super rich. 10 people in the entire world, 10, have made $400 billion out of, maybe pounds, I need to check that one, $400 billion, let's say, out of the COVID crisis. Every PCR test makes profit for a private company. Now, these are private companies, plural. These are not NHS companies. It's not the NHS. They're private companies. The PCR tests as well are questionable, to say the least, when they do 45 cycles. I mean, you speak to any scientist out there. And what really concerns me now is the climate of fear. Because I'm speaking to scientists. I'm speaking to doctors. off the record. I mean, they will not, if they're of working age, they will not be identified. And that's the culture that we have in Wales. It's a culture of fear everywhere.
What do you see as the future now for Wales if there is another Labour government, the Senedd or a coalition government? Do you see any improvements? Do you see us sort of going down the path where we might get out of this economic slump, and that the right thing will be done, that we will have properly built hospitals, we'll have community clinics, we'll have district nurses, we'll have a recruit more nurses, more doctors, they'll address these issues? Or do you think it'll be, there we are, that's done and dusted, people will forget about that, they've got short memories, and let's just carry on business as usual?
Yeah, done and dusted, be managed decline. We'll have nuclear mud dumped on us with plutonium, with it containing plutonium. That will happen. We'll be in another lockdown. People will be worse off economically. Drakeford will go cap in hands of the UK government wanting more money. And I mean, I'm embarrassed by the state of the Welsh economy. When I go out with people, with friends and family, I pay my own way. I don't ask people to pay for my meals. So why is it acceptable for a country, Wales, to go to England with a begging bowl continuously, when I want to thrive an economy and I want people in our country to stand on their own 2 feet? In terms of the future, what I see is Propel being elected, being a really credible opposition, putting down realistic policies, offering difference, offering change, and maybe this time using the power of opposition. Opposition has a lot of power, and you can win a number of battles in opposition, but we've never had one in the Senedd, and I believe after May they're going to have a hell of an opposition in Propel. So I see, realistically speaking, a Labour-plied coalition. I mean, vote ply, get Labour. I think the deal's already done. Because Plaid are working like hell in Cardiff West. Everyone knows that they can't win. They know they can't win. They put up a ridiculous tweet yesterday saying it's a two-horse race, Plaid or Labour in Cardiff West. And I mean, thank God for social media, because I'm getting millions of views, millions on social media, far more than any other politician in Wales, more than most of them put together, to be honest, on Facebook. We're out there, and I think we're on course to beat Drakeford and really shake things
up. You've got a reputation, though, as the bad boy at the Senate, the rule breaker. Is that who you are? And is this just a case now of you've gone too far, you're in trouble, and you know this might be the end of your political career?
I think in the Senate, I don't fit in at all. I remember there was a late evening where we were voting on legislation. It went on till about 9 o'clock, and I went in the dining room, and it was really weird because whenever I went in school, lots of friends, college, lots of friends, university, lots of friends. I've played football all my life. I got mates I played football for 40 years with, you know, and 30, we stopped a few years back, so 35 years, and probably 37 years actually. And so sociable kind of person. And I remember that evening, I walked in the in the dining room, and I had nobody to speak to, and it was interesting. And in that building, I'm working class, I'm not white, I'm true to my values, I don't fit in. When I walk out of the building, I walk across the road, and I go into Canton, I go into a local pub, or I go to a community cafe down the docks, I fit in. I'm the norm there, but I'm not the norm in the Senedd. And what we have to do is get more regular people, more everyday people, more working class people from a variety of backgrounds elected to the Senedd to bring some kind of normality.
It is a call coming from all corners of the political spectrum, certainly from Mark Drakeford, Welsh government. Do you think they're just paying lip service then? Do you think that they really don't want that?
Oh God, no. No. The Senedd is the most vile place I've ever worked in my entire life. The lives of my staff have been made extremely difficult. I think I'm allowed to say that my staff have been bullied, and by the institution, by members of the commission, by other politicians, by other politicians' staff. We're a tight knit team. We've stuck together. We'll see him off on May the 6th. We'll be the people standing come May the 7th. And I can justify that because of what I put in writing. I put it, you know, as I've gone along, I thought, well, I'm not accepting this, but on behalf of my staff member, and I've documented it by email. Equally, I've documented racism in the Senedd. And please, I mean, I've dealt with racism my entire life. It's just the way it is. You grow up with my background, my colour skin. You get treated differently. You have a different life experience. And I reported racism to Ellen Jones in the Senedd in 2018 in February. It wasn't about me. Because it's really embarrassing to complain when it's about you. I complained on behalf of somebody else. She recognised the behaviour was going on and she refused to do anything about it. And then later on, I complain about the way that I was treated. So when I look at the way Ellen Jones has treated me, telling me that the way I look makes people feel uncomfortable, complaining about me because I've recorded people stitching me up, for want of a better phrase. I look at how my amendments on racism, very sensible amendments put forward through life experience and also contact with the communities in South Wales. I was asked to put certain things forward as amendments to a discussion on racism with actions for the government to do. Ellen Jones withdrew all my amendments without explanation. And I think she's treated me in a really prejudicial way. Being brown doesn't help, I'll be honest with you. But I think also being outspoken, wanting change is the main driver as well in terms of the discrimination.
Do you think there will be a backlash in your constituency should you go to court and be found guilty? Do you can you see any, you know, the support? Do you think people will protest? Do you think people will rally behind you?
I'm not going to be found guilty, to be honest. I really don't think they've got a leg to stand on. I don't mean to sound arrogant there. They're wrong. And you can't have Mark Drakeford planting trees, no social distancing, running around the country, and me doing a constituency job being found guilty of going outside. The police, what was interesting when they read me my rights and so on, they said the charge was going outside without a valid reason. So it wasn't leafleting, it was going outside. And they also said because I'd not taken advice, they were then going to punish me. So what was I punished? Looking at it illegally, was I punished for going outside or was I punished for not taking advice? So I don't think they got a leg to stand on. We've already seen a backlash. Because people don't like stitch-ups. People want fair play. And they can see right the way along the line that I've been stitched up for a number of years now. And back in 2017, the onslaught was horrendous over the bullying allegation. All I did was say that I wanted to restructure Cardiff Council. I think people forget that. A woman had been unfairly evicted with her family and she shouldn't have been thrown out. The council lied to the court. I went outside and said, well, you know, I really want to restructure Cardiff Council and make sure that those unfair evictions don't happen anymore. Plaid Cymru jumped into bed with Labour. They were working with Drakeford from then onwards, really. But the effect on my vote in the election weeks after, I mean, the abuse thrown at me March, April 2017 was nobody's business. And yet, it was in May the 5th then, 2017? Might be May the 3rd, I'm not sure. I was returned with a hell of an increased vote. I went from 1,600 to 2,414 in Fairwater. And no other Plaid council in Wales got a higher vote than me. In fact, the three highest Plaid votes at the time were in Fairwater. And they propel votes now.
Just to finish off then, you did refer to Mark Drakeford and the rule breaking as far as you perceived and so on. Will you be making an official complaint, and will you be asking the police now to review and look into the instances of rule breaking, regulation breaking for those other members of the Senedd, given their pursuit of your misdemeanor?
The police phoned me up and asked me to complain about Drakeford, and I declined. I didn't want to because I think he's entitled to go about his daily business. My issue is I'm allowed to as well. So I declined to complain there. But I think the question is whether or not I canvass now, because, as I said, I had a double glazing person on the door last night, totally legal. And yet there's somebody seeking to get elected against the First Minister. I'm banned from the doorstep, effectively. And, you know, those guys know that on the doorstep, that's where we get support Yeah, you can't talk to people on the door, which is ludicrous, right? Because, as I said, double glazing salespeople can, politicians can't. I think I'm probably going to do it anyway, to be honest. I mean, I don't know, I'll take advice. I don't want to say I'm going to do it. But I mean, for me, it's about principle, it's about democracy, it's about freedom. And just because Drakeford and his advisors say, you're not allowed to do this, do I listen to them or do I listen to what is actually right? And they know, if I'd have had three, you know, I mean, it's outrageous what they're doing. And they're playing with, they're fiddling democracy. And there's not, I mean that, fiddling. They are playing with the system. And it's very dangerous because democracy is a pressure valve for a civilized society. And when you take away the ability for people to exercise their democratic rights, you're on a very dangerous road. And what the Conservatives are doing in London in effectively abolishing the right to protest, 10 years in prison if you cause serious annoyance to somebody. It's unbelievable. Paedophiles do not get jailed, generally. You look at Simon Thomas, Plaid AM. He didn't get jailed. Lots of them don't get jailed. And yet the government are going to push through legislation, the Conservatives in London, to criminalise people protesting. I'm very worried for the future.